Jaradhamandava Kunjabihari Jaradhamandava Kunjabihari Gopijanavallabha Girivaradhari Gopijanavallabha Girivaradhari Yashodanandana Vrajajanuranjana Yashodanandana Vrajajanuranjana Jamunutiravana Jamuna Kira Vanachari Jarada Mandava Kunjabihari Jaya Radha Madhava Kunjabihari Gopi Janavallabha Girivaradhari Hey Gopi Janavallabha Girivaradhari Yashoda Nandana Vrajajanuranjana Yashoda Nandana Vrajajanaranjana Jamunotiravanachari Jamunotiravanachari Jaya Radha Madhava Kunjabihari Gopi Janavallabha Girivaradhari Yashoda Nandana Vrajajanuranjana Yashoda Nandana Vrajajanuranjana Jamunotiravanachari Jamunatira Vanachari jaya radha madhava kunja vihari Grantaraj Srimad Bhagavatam ki Srila Prabhupada ki Harinam Sankirtan Yaga ki Shishi Kishore Kishore ki Shishi Jagannath Baladeva Subhadra ki Shishi Gauranitai ki Samaveda Bhaktavrinda ki All glories to assembled devotees Gaur Premanande Jai Shishi Guru Guru Jai Shishi Guru Guru Jai Shishi Guru Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya Do we have a board now? No. So I just read through the shloka, yes? And then we read word by word? Yeah? So not necessarily word by word. Yeah? Okay. Okay. Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 5, Chapter 14, The Forest of Enjoyment, Text 30. Yadapa kandibhirat mavachitais tair uruvanchita brahmakulam samavasam stisham shilam upanayana dishruta smarta karmanushtanena bhagavato yagya purushasya radhanam evatadara chayan shudra Kulambajate nigamachare Shudito yasyamituni bhavakutumba Varanam yatavanarajatehe Translation and purport of His Divine Grace is Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada ki. The pseudo Swamis, yogis, and incarnations who do not believe in the Supreme Personality of Godhead are known as Pashandis. They themselves are fallen and cheated because they do not know the real path of spiritual advancement. And whoever goes to them is certainly cheated in his turn. When one is thus cheated, he sometimes takes shelter of the real followers of Vedic principles, which are Brahmanas or those in Krishna consciousness, who teach everyone how to worship the Supreme Personality of Godhead according to Vedic rituals. However, being unable to stick to these principles, these rascals again fall down and take shelter among Shudras, who are very expert in making arrangements for sex indulgence. Sex is very prominent among animals like monkeys, and such people who are enlivened by sex may be called descendants of the monkeys. Purport. By fulfilling the process of evolution from the aquatics to the animal platform, a living entity eventually reaches the human form, eventually. The three modes of material nature are always working in the evolutionary process. Those who come to the human form through the quality of sattva gun were cows in their last animal incarnation. Those who come to the human form through the quality of rajagun were lions in their last animal incarnation. Those who come to the human form through the quality of tamagun were monkeys in their last animal incarnation. So in this age, Those who come through the monkey species are considered by modern anthropologists like Darwin to be descendants of the monkeys. So we receive information herein that those who are simply interested in sex are actually no better than monkeys. Monkeys are very expert in sexual enjoyment. And sometimes sex glands are taken from monkeys and placed in the human body so that a human being can enjoy sex in old age. In this way, modern civilization has advanced. Many monkeys in India were caught and sent to Europe so that their sex glands could reserve a replacement for those of old people. Those who actually descend from the monkeys are interested in expanding their aristocratic families through sex. In the Vedas, there are also certain ceremonies especially meant for sexual improvement and promotion to higher planetary systems where the demigods are enjoying sex. So the demigods are also very much inclined toward sex because that is the basic principle of material enjoyment. So first of all, the conditioned soul is cheated by so-called swamis, yogis and incarnations, when he approaches them to be relieved of material miseries. So when the conditioned soul is not satisfied with them, he comes to devotees and pure brahmanas who try to elevate him for final liberation from material bondage. However, the unscrupulous conditioned soul cannot rigidly follow the principles prohibiting illicit sex, intoxication, gambling, and meat-eating. Thus, he falls down and takes shelter of people who are like monkeys. In the Krishna consciousness movement, these monkey disciples, being unable to follow the strict regulative principles, sometimes fall down and try to form societies based on sex. So this is proof that such people are descendants of monkeys, as confirmed by Darwin. In this verse, it is therefore clearly stated, Yata Vanara Jate.
Yada pakandibirat mavanchitaster urvanchit brahma kulam samavasam stesham shilam upanayana dishrut smarta kamanushta nena bhagavato yagya purushasya radhanam evatad arocham shudra kulam bachiteni gamachari sudito yasya mituni bhava kutumbabaram yatavanara jattihi. Yatha, as it is Vanara of the society of monkeys, of the or the descendants of the monkey, Kutumba Bharanam, the maintenance of the family. So those who are attached to the sex are the descendants of the monkeys, and this is which confirms the Darwin theory, at least in this part. So the pseudo-swamis, yogis and incarnations, who do not believe in the Supreme Personality of Godhead, are known as Pashandis. They themselves are fallen and cheated because they do not know the real path of spiritual advancement, and whoever goes to them is certainly cheated in his turn. When one is thus cheated, he sometimes takes shelter of the real followers of the Vedic principles, Brahmanas, or those in Krishna consciousness, who teach everyone how to worship the Supreme Personality of Godhead according to Vedic rituals. However, being unable to stick to these principles, these rascals again fall down and take shelter among Shudras, who are very expert in making arrangements for sex indulgence. Sex is very prominent among animals like monkeys, and such people who are enlivened by sex may be called descendants of the monkeys. Hare Krishna. So, this is the real picture of material existence, the reality which may be covered or hidden by certain propaganda. But actually, this is the reality of material existence. That a conditioned living soul is being tortured by the sensual organs, karmendriyas and indriyendriyas, and gyanendriyas, tortured always, being dragged here and there in hunt for the objects of the senses. So this sex indulgence is just involves the rubbing of the skin. Yes, it is said that the biggest sense organ, sensual organ we do have is our skin. It covers all the body. Eyes for seeing are just two little buttons. Yeah? Nose for smelling is just two little holes. Taste is also just a tongue. Hearing, another two holes, which also drags living entity for enjoyment, for enjoying the objects. Go and hunt for music. Go and get the fragrance. Go and get the taste. Give me something pleasant to see. But the skin covers all the body. And wherever you rub, it gives certain pleasure. Or you give it a heat, or you give it a rub, it gives certain pleasure. So it doesn't matter. Is it sex? Is it skin rubbing sex? Or is it eye seeing sex? Or is it ear hearing sex? Or is it smell sex? Or is it taste sex? It's all about sensual enjoyment. But the biggest misfortune is that the living entity is being cheated. And who cheats the living entity if not the mind? Because even those organs, sensual organs, sense organs, they are not enjoying. Because the eye or the nose or the tongue or the ear or the skin, it doesn't matter for it to which object to relate. Who is caring for the certain particular objects is the mind, who is also conditioned by gunas of material nature, and of course by karma, by previous life. And this way we see that if someone reaches ultimately going through 8,400,000 of species of life, ultimately reaches the human form of life, which is meant for performing sacrifices and austerities. And misfortunate conditioned soul still continues the animalistic lifestyle like monkey, being in the human form of life, totally spoiling the opportunity, getting the most valuable form of life out of 8,400,000 and still spoiling it, not able to give up the habits of the previous lives. But, of course, conditioned soul doesn't have any other chance. Only if accidentally it gets the chance to associate with pure-hearted devotees or brahmanas or those who are in Krishna consciousness. But we see that Shukadeva Goswami still says that even in this case, some rascals cannot give up their old habits and ultimately still fall down going back to their old habits of indulging in whichever gross or subtle sex that may be. So this should make us double serious. This should provoke us to think again and again, twice and again, how serious I am, how devoted I want to be, how serious I am about my sadhana. Yes, because it's not by default. It takes endeavor to maintain your devotional life. It takes endeavor. Like perform austerity. Srila Prabhupada says, some stupid yogis, they live in the forest, no clothes, eating just fruits and whatever berries or whatever the Mother Nature gives. But he says that the monkeys also then could be considered big sadhus because they live in the trees. They eat the fruits and whatever Mother Nature gives. And they also renounced. They don't have cloth. Yeah, but it's all about the consciousness. It's all about where you place your mind and intelligence. Because Lord Shri Krishna warns Arjuna in Bhagavad Gita that the biggest enemy of the human being, living entity, is lust. And the sitting place of the lust is? Yes, senses, mind, intelligence. This is the sitting place of the lust. So it pollutes, it influences our mind, it influences even intelligence. Doesn't matter how intelligent a person may be and know the Shastra, still some one single sense organ can drag a living entity down. Not necessarily skin rubbing, the eyes, the ears, the nose, the tongue, any of them, any organ of sense can drag living entity to degradation. And even one object of the sense can serve as a cause for degradation. Just one thing. We know Vishwamitra Muni. Huh? We know in Bhagavatam, few stories. But on the other hand, like we see through the Bhagavatam, Shukadeva Goswami telling Maharaj Parikshit inspiring stories and also the material existence reality stories. For us, what is the lesson? The lesson is so that we would not invest our faith, a single grain of faith, into this material world. It's not worth that. It's not worth that even a second of our attention. Even a moment of our attention, it's not worth this material world of our attention. It's too valuable. Our attention we have to invest into the deities, into the worship, into the Shastra, into the Sadhu Sangha. This is where our attention should be invested. Otherwise, we put ourselves under big danger, fall down. And Shukadeva Goswami warns Maharaj Parikshit, us through Maharaj Parikshit. Just recently, maybe a few months ago, during May month, one devotee had a terrible happening in his life. I know this family back in Lithuania, wonderful family, wonderful devotees. He was long, long time a Sankirtan devotee. And most faithful members of the community there, devotee community. And they have one very wonderful child, kid, girl. She's like 11, 12 year old. She's going to school and she loves her father like anything. She was born as a devotee in a devotee family, and she never had any chance to eat meat or do any other nonsense of karmic society. So she practically worships her father. She loves him so much. She loves him. They call her Govinda. She's a pretty, pretty girl, and she just practically can't stay without a father a moment. So when she goes to the school and she is this way forced to separate from father, she suffers like anything. So even going to school, even from the school, she calls on phone father and just to tell him how much she loves him. And it's for years and years. For years and years. She just... And father, you know, he can't stand. He reciprocates. You know, she's so attached to him. She so loves him. And father does everything and anything just to please her. And she's a devotee. She chants. So one day, just right next to the school, she gave a call to father telling, "My dear father, I just wanted to tell you how much I love you." Just a girl. 10-year-old girl. Pretty girl, Govinda. She just called father, "My dear father, I'm missing you so much. I just wanted to tell you how much I love you." And then she just, with a worried voice, she said, "My dear father, somebody is following me, and I'm scared." And then she yielded, and the phone went off. And later on, he was telling me the story. He said that I felt that my daughter is in deadly danger. He said, in my heart, because they are so close to each other. He said, in my heart, I immediately felt that my daughter is in danger. And at home, he has wonderful set of deities, Gaurani Thai and Lord Narsingadev deity, which he brought from India. Wonderful, beautiful Narsingadev deity. And he immediately approached the deities right away. This is like a natural reflex of the devotee. Whenever there is a danger, wherever there is something happening unfavorable, unpleasant in life, immediately he thinks about the Lord, immediately he approaches the deity. And he immediately approached the deity and started praying for the deity of Lord Narsingadev. "My dear Lord, to my life you brought this devotee, my daughter, which happened to be my daughter. And I'm taking my best care of her, what I can, just to teach her science of devotion, just to show her example, care for her, love her. So please now, seems like my daughter, your devotee, is in danger. Please, please help her. Please save her." And for 4 hours, he was praying to the deity, chanting on beads and continuously praying to the Lord, "Please help her." This was his first impulse, and he just went on. The wife called the school, and the school confirmed that she didn't admit it to the school that day. So they asked if she will let her call home, but for 4 hours nothing happened. So they were sitting and praying intensely. Later on, he admitted to me that he never before so intensely was praying to the Lord, never before. And for 4 hours, they were tortured by not knowing what's going on, where the daughter is. So after 4 hours, they decided to go to report to the police and went there. On the way, they noticed that they left their cell phone at home, so in case if daughter will call them back, they turned around, not reaching the police station, and turned around to go home to pick up the phone, and they found their daughter there already back. Terribly frightened, all wet, all in tears. So then she told the story that two guys caught her and threw into the car, locked the doors and drove away. They drove somewhere to some house and brought her inside, and there was a doctor, and they asked the doctor to check her physical status. And he checked her physical status, and he said to those kidnappers, she's okay, she's fit for prostitution, you can take her. And she was just, they told her that you will never again see your parents and your life will never be again the same. And they drove her away from the city. And whilst they were driving, she was crying, she was praying. And she said she was praying the Lord so that He would give her a chance to see her father again. All the way. She was praying and praying and praying and crying. And at some point, the kidnappers got sick of her because she was restless on the back seat. She was crying and shouting and like that. So they stopped somewhere near in the forest near the lake and threw her into the lake just to cool her down. And that was early spring, so the water was, I don't know, freezing cold, like just the ice was just melted in the lake. So they threw her into the lake, kept her there, took her back, put into the car, and were standing there and smoking, having a break. And she was like cold, she was trembling, she was scared, she was crying, she was praying, she didn't know what to do. Like a 12-year-old girl, teenager. And at some point she noticed that from the forest, one man, small man, came out with a big dog, huge dog. He was just having a walk with his dog. And she started hitting the window because she was locked inside. Hitting the window so that to get attention of that man. And he noticed her. He approached, he came to the car and asked the kidnappers, he said, whose girl is that? Why she's crying? Why she's in such a state? And they told him, just, it's not your business, get lost. And the man said, you better let her go. But he was a weak, small guy. So those two guys said, just get out of here, otherwise we'll finish you. And he said, you let the girl go, or I let the dog go. Because the dog was huge, like barking like an animal, like he would swallow them. And he was barking and furious and, you know, foam from the mouth coming out, and he was ready just to drag them into pieces, tear them into pieces. And they said to the man, it's your lucky day that we didn't take guns with us today. Otherwise, your dog and you would be finished. But they couldn't do anything. They had to let the girl go. And they let the girl go. So that small guy, he had enough guts to, you know, to pursue. And he took the girl, he put in the car and drove back to the city, asked where she is staying. And on the way, the dog became very restless. And he even started by passing urine in the car at the dog. He just wanted to, you know, have the do his nature call. And the man excused the girl, saying that, "Sorry, girl, I have to take care of my dog now. So how far is your home?" And they were right next to her home. So she said, "Okay, I'll find my home. It's right next. I'll find my way." So he let her go, and she went home. So this devotee father, he didn't even had a chance to express his gratitude, to thank the man who saved her girl, her daughter. So just, he did nothing. He just for 4 hours was praying to the Lord, not getting weird, not getting panicking, just concentrating on the Lord and praying. So his spiritual master is His Holiness Niranjan Maharaj. Later in his retelling the story to Boston devotees, he told that Lord Nrisimhadev just incarnated in the dog and saved her devotee. So later on, father tried to figure out why his daughter was chosen to be kidnapped. What's the intrigue behind? What's the cause for that? So the daughter told him that some time ago she put her pretty photos on a Facebook. She just registered on Facebook and she just put her nice photos on the Facebook, and she was telling the father, "Look how many friends every day I'm getting. Like, you know, how many likings I'm getting every day." So that means that there are some rascal guys who are just following the statistics of the pretty girls, searching them, or looking for them, kidnapping them, and bringing to whatever, Arabs, West, for prostitution. But the lesson is interesting, so that this is the test in all of us in our lives when we put under some severe circumstances where our faith is being tested, where our devotion is being tested, yeah? Like we could see from Mahabharata stories, Pandavas, so devoted, so sincere, devotees of Lord Sri Krishna. Still, it was always something happening. Always dangers were pursuing them. Dangerous situations, dangerous circumstances. But they were always firm, faithful towards the Lord. Always. So even nowadays, even in ISKCON, we can see now there are devotees. There are sincere devotees, like family devotees, who have to compromise their devotional service with doing hard work for maintenance, their family or whatever. Still, in their heart, they are deeply, deeply devoted to their spiritual master, deeply devoted to the mission of His Divine Grace, Issi Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada, deeply devoted to the principles and regulations they follow, deeply devoted to their deities at their home. And doesn't matter what happens, immediately you can see that they approach the Lord for the protection. They immediately approach the Lord when everything is okay, also in their lives. Because those situations is also created by the Lord just to show others the beauty of the character of the devotee. And when I was telling this story to non-devotee communities in the universities, wherever I was giving the classes, people just were shocked. Why he didn't call the police first? They were shocked. Why he is thinking that, what kind of person? Why he is so irresponsible? Why he didn't call the police first? But he said, I didn't want to spoil a moment without the Lord. I had firm faith, whatever happens, the Lord will take care. And he said after that event, this devotee said that my faith into the power of Holy Name increased so much times, so many times. It's nowadays, it's modern story. So we can see that the Lord is there in our life, the Lord is there. But how deep faith we have. It is said that faith develops through different stages. And the first stage of Shraddha development is respect and honor. It's the preliminary stage of faith. Because the respect could be shown by a person with one condition. He understands that the life is suffering. Like it is said that the spiritual path starts from the question which is atato brahma jigyasa. Until the person doesn't inquires about the absolute truth, Brahman, he can't admit that this life is suffering. You go on the street and start preaching the suffering theory to the conditioned souls. They would not admit, oh no, life is fun. Life is beautiful. It's so much fun. It's wonderful. Not all of people would be able to admit. But we just go through this chapter and we can see terrible explanations. The path of fruitive activities leads to difficult mountains, and sometimes the conditioned soul wants to cross these mountains, but he is never successful. You just put so much of an endeavor to get the fruits of your activities, but you are never successful, never ever, Srila Prabhupada says. And consequently, such a person becomes more and more aggrieved and disappointed. It's just what goes through the life. You put more faith into the sensual enjoyment and you get more and more disappointed and aggrieved. This is the statistical reality, which most of the people can't admit. So that's why they never ask the question about Brahmana, Tato Brahma Jigyasa, what is the essence of this existence? Only then the true respect comes. After the respect, the sincere interest comes. Sincere interest means inquiring. What is all about spirituality, soul, God? What is this? What is actually that? Then such a person commits to the process of study, listening. So then humility develops. You have to be humble to accept the authority, otherwise you can't listen. You put more stress on your own opinion than on the opinion of Shastra, Guru or Sadhu. And you can't listen if you are not humble enough. You may sit in the class, but you don't accept what you hear. So you have to be humble. Only when you commit yourself to the study process, regular study process. Okay, from time to time, when Samaraj comes, he gives a good class, it's interesting to sit and listen and to participate and to laugh. No, it's all about regularity, regular study of Shastra. Regular. So this is what today we read about, that being unable to stick to these principles, rascals again fall down. Srila Prabhupada says, doesn't translate, and Shukadeva Goswami doesn't say, oh, those poor souls, they fall down. No, rascals. Why? Because they still maintain attachment to sensual enjoyment. Rascals. He fell down. And the natural reaction of the materialistic person, oh, what a misfortune, how misfortune he is. No, Shukadeva Goswami says, rascal. He fell down. Rascal, that means he has attachments. No, sorry. This is what we read. It's Shukadeva Goswami says. Yeah. And then taking shelter amongst the Shudras who promote sexual enjoyment. Okay, devotee may also sometimes fall down. And even Srila Prabhupada says that even pure devotee may sometimes fall down. But he never takes shelter again amongst the Shudras. No. He still follows the process. He continues the process. He never takes shelter of the Shudras, of the advertisement, of the sensual enjoyment. So we can see. I am very inspired by this example of that, my friend, who proved to be pure soul. He's a family devotee. He's got a business. And he is well-to-do businessman. He's got in his life whatever he wanted. Krishna puts him into the difficulties. He didn't blame the Lord. No. And he doesn't put his faith into police or whomever who would save his girl. Right away. He considers his daughter the property of the Lord. And when the property got in danger, he immediately approached the Lord. My dear Lord, your property, your devotee is in danger. Please, 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 please help her. And it happened. So this is where our faith gets stronger. But an intelligent devotee doesn't need to go through those difficulties in life to strengthen his faith. By reading, a brahmana, intelligent devotee, by reading, his faith gets strengthened. A gross person, he may need to be punished to bring his consciousness back to adequate thinking. But it's not necessary to go through tribulations. Ah, thank you very much. It's a great pleasure to be with you again. It's a great pleasure to see your eyes and see the Lord there. Because when you see, when you look at the eyes of the materialistic person, you see search for the enjoyment. When you look at the eyes of the devotee, you see the beauty of beautiful form of the Lord. And this is a total difference. So thank you for devoting yourself for the satisfaction of the Lord, and may your life be sublime. Hare Krishna. What is our time now? Are we meant to finish at 8:30? Okay. 5 minutes questions, if there are.
Thank you, Maharaj, for your class. I remember your first class that I heard. And in that class, you made a very strong comment which still is with me. Like you said, I could, I joined ISKCON when there was no ISKCON. And that was a pretty strong statement for a neophyte devotee like me. I mean, who is in a luxury, but still don't realize how important the association of devotees is. My question from today's verse is, like, we are born Pashandis. We are raised by Pashandis. we are properly trained by Paschalis and we are expert Paschalis. Still, we hear the message of Srila Prabhupada for devotees like you. And I also hear like one's spiritual life is his own prerogative. So how we can blame pseudo gurus in like, you know, contributing to our path of degradation when we ourselves are to be blamed for that? So can you please shed some light on this? Because I see people like you when there was no ISKCON still, and we are very grateful for that.
Thank you very much. What can I say? On one hand, when we have all opportunities for preaching, it's very good. On the other hand, when we joined those years, communistic times, we were quite limited to any resources, to any resources for practicing, not even to preaching. Preaching was impossible, but even practicing oneself, Krishna consciousness, we were very limited because there were no sadhu sangha, there were no information, and still we were chanting holy name of the Lord. So that brings also strengthens my faith into the power of the holy name of the Lord, because chanting for few years Hare Krishna Mahamantra, not knowing what is it. Like in India, mostly all of people know who Krishna, Ram, everyone, Ram, Raj, everyone knows. But in our part of the world, then, I didn't know what is it. Krishna, Ram, it has no meaning for me, no meaning at all. So for a few years I still was chanting because I was told that it's beneficial. And I felt it's soothing the heart, it gives a peace, it gives a fulfillment for the heart. Just by chanting. So, but then when opportunities start coming, like books started appearing, yeah, we could read what's that all about. Then we could have some gatherings on the Namahatas. We could feel like it's so enriching your personal life as a person. You have the people to discuss the subject matter of spirituality, of God consciousness, of sacrifice, of austerity. So it's so much more fulfilling. And still, the process still is the same. And nowadays, we can practice Krishna consciousness there freely and easily. But then we have to admit another challenge is that people are not interested so much. Yes? They invest their faith in, like I love to repeat that, where is our faith placed in? In what we do? In what we do? It's like I met a few days ago one man here. He said, yes, the job, the work here is like a worship. It's like a religion. Everyone is just going to work day by day by day, all life through, paying just in order to pay the bills. So this is where your faith is. You put your faith into the dollar. But then don't blame anyone else. So that's why the primal duty of a human being is to get out of the illusion, because things which you are doing is not the reality, it's illusion. And that's why we read such statements like today. It's quite straightforward, huh? It's no compromises, just very bold statements. But This is where we have to place our faith in. It may be bold, it may be painful, but this is the reality. Otherwise, there is illusion. Otherwise, we get into the category of rascals, degraded rascals. So, we have to consider which association we want to be with. So, I know that holy name of the Lord just carried me all those years through, up to Chicago. Otherwise, I don't know. I have quite some friends who left Europe and came to live in America. But if they are not in Krishna consciousness, their life is miserable. Miserable. Hard work. Hard work. For what? Okay, hard work in Krishna consciousness is also not a resort place. But we know for what. I travel. I just did a trip in Canada 2 weeks, Toronto 1 week, Montreal 1 week, and sometimes four classes a day. Morning, Bhagavatam, then some Namahata, then another class in the Indian temple somewhere, and then Russian group meeting, and like that. And it's not easy. Four classes a day in four different places, in different towns nearby, and it's day after day. But I know for what I am doing that, and that makes me happy. Maybe my body is exhausted, but I'm happy. I'm doing the right thing. It may be also hard work, but we know for what. For Srila Prabhupada, he saved my life. Lord Nrisimhadev saved that girl's life. And we have to admit consciously, things are like that. This is reality. But not take it for granted. Oh, prasad is there, everything is just easy going, so nice being taken care of. No. I have to think what I can contribute to Srila Prabhupada, who saved our life. Even not being present on the planet, still devotees come to his lotus feet. New people come, new generation come to his lotus feet. So what, how strong has to be his faith? Still, he is not present, his faith is present. And his faith brings others to lotus feet of Kishore, Kishore, Gaur, anytime. Huh? How strong is that? And we have doubts, yeah, sometimes. As soon as we meet bold statement or impediment, immediately we're getting doubts. It's a shame. So that means that some events will happen in our life so that we will have to choose, unable to stick to the principles and become rascal, or still step over and go on. Thank you very much. This Mataji, she has a question, if we have the time for that. Yes, Mataji.
Maharaj, thank you for the nice class. I'm coming from the Christian tradition, and we are taught to pray to God for our daily bread, for the health of our family, etc. And I'm just a bit troubled. I'm not too sure, because I'm being told that, you know, every event in our life is coming, you know, as a result of our karma. And so I'm troubled, like, if everything's a result of my karma, am I to pray? Or what's the proper way to pray when troubling things come in our lives?
You know, the Lord is a wonderful person. People, they force each other to follow their way. Sometimes parents forcing the children to behave their way. Sometimes some nations forcing other nations to follow their way. Sometimes some religions forces the others to become religious their way. But the Lord never forces us to believe in Him or to surrender to Him. He never forces. gives us a chance. So one way is to say, yes, everything is predestined by karma. But we don't have to forget that we have the freedom to choose. Yes. So to pray, what you are speaking, to pray for what you would like your life to look like, the lives of others to look like. Like, yes, for the materialist, his life is predestined by karma. Yes? But for a conscious person, or a devotee, he knows that every living entity has a freedom, free choice to choose, be a conditioned soul or be a liberated soul. So like we read, if you are unable to stick to the principles, you still fall down and get back to the materialistic way of life. But this is not the way Srila Prabhupada wanted us to live. So certain things are predestined by karma. But to be liberated means step over the karma, step over the above the gunas, shuddha sattva. Yeah, become purely sattvic devotee. And this is just all about the consciousness. And all about the consciousness means, where do you put your faith? Where do you invest your faith? In a Mr. Dollar or in a Mr. Shishi Kishore Kishori? And he will do the rest, the job. Yeah. You just pray and invest your faith into the Lord, into a spiritual master, into saintly persons, and they will carry you through. Like I was telling my story. I didn't knew what's this holy name all about back years, those 30 years ago, but I still had some faith that Maha Mantra is helping me. And now I can see more consciously what it did to me, how it saved me, how it carried me through those years, and still going on. So just, I am from the Catholic background, yes? Lithuania is almost 90% Catholic there. Very strong Catholics, yes? But not having such deep knowledge, people don't know the substance and essence of the religion. Like Prabhupada was asked once, what is the religion? There was some discussion, and one scientist said, oh, it's a vast subject matter, what is religion? You would need to talk so much to explain what is religion. Srila Prabhupada said, religion is following the orders of the Lord. That's it. That's simple. You ask the scientist, he will write a book, few tomes about it. It's just, when there is no Lord in your life, no God in your life, then you start speculating. When there is a Lord in your life, when you are ready to surrender, when you are ready to accept authority, it is just that simple. Follow the orders of the Lord. Bus. Thank you, Mataji. I think it's the time to finish, and if Nityananda Pran Prabhu is allowing tomorrow, maybe still, I'll give a next class of Bhagavatam if it's according to the schedule. Shiban Bhagavatam ki, Srila Prabhupada ki, Kishore Kishore ki, Jagannath Baladeva Subhadra ki, Shishi Gaurantai ki jai. Hare.
Old friends, my old friends. Good to see you. Very good to see you.
Everything is okay?
Yes. Very happy to see you again. How long will you be here?